Crusty Cray, pizza is the pizza, for you and oh shit, we're recording that still.
Yeah, we are, and I'm isolating that and making it like the beginning of the cold open. And welcome back to Every 11 Minutes, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast, where we discuss the show's first three seasons and the first movie. I am Quadri Fletcher, joined by...
Tyler Pittis.
Yes, we're back again. Woo. Episode 5? Yes, episode 5. How are you doing today?
I am... These last couple of days, this week, man, I have done nothing. It's been, woo. How about you?
Let's see. Yeah, no, I had a lot of days off this week, so I was doing a lot of sitting around the house, and I've done pretty much nothing. I did. Go ahead.
No. Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, working from home and my car's in the shop, so it's just like a combination of yuck.
I did. I have been going outside a lot more because the weather was very nice this week. Yeah. So I just was going out in like the fields, just like lying out in the grass and stuff. I mean, you know, it was relaxing.
Just laying there, you know,
just lying
waiting
there,
for the world to burn down,
contemplating life decisions.
Well, you know what a good life decision was? Starting this podcast.
That's true. I haven't regretted it yet.
You will.
Today we are discussing episode 5 of season 1, which originally aired August 14th, 1999, and includes the segments Pizza Delivery and Home Sweet Pineapple. Let's get into the episode, which begins with Pizza Delivery. Storyboard editor Sherm Cohen, storyboard artist Aaron Springer, Uncle Aaron from my friend Ethan. Remember the story? Yeah.
Yes.
Written by Sherm Cohen, Aaron Springer, and Peter Burns, animation director Sean Dempsey, creative director Derek Dryman. So it starts out, we're in the Krusty Krab, it's closing time.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
And immediately, and I always think about this whenever I watch either of these episodes, but this always reminds me of the beginning of Graveyard Shift, which is an episode later, I think maybe in season two. I forget if it's in season two or season three, but it's the episode with the hash slinging slasher. And
yes.
So whenever I see either of these episodes, like vice versa, it just they always remind me of each other because they start out in a very similar way. But they're getting ready to close. SpongeBob is cleaning the tables, and suddenly the phone rings. SpongeBob leaps to answer it, and Squidward gets to it first. The person on the phone is trying to order a pizza from the Krusty Krab, and when Squidward tries to tell them that they don't serve pizza, Krabs takes the phone and usurps all of that, and basically says that they will deliver this pizza, and then takes like a fistful of Krabby Patties and just somehow transforms it into a pizza inside of a pizza box.
Yes.
So they head out to go deliver this pizza, and there's a boat out there. Whose boat is this? Is it like Krabs, Squidward's, like...
Yeah, I mean, Squidward walks to work,
yes,
also, or bikes or something, so my guess is it's Mr. Krabs. But before they leave, I'm stopping right now because I noticed something that I still am scratching my head over.
Go ahead.
On the door, right, one of the doors in the Krusty Krab that they're standing in front of talking, there's a sign on it, and it says The Heads. That's all it says.
What?
And so I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's a bathroom
thing. Oh my god, I literally just pulled up the... I just pulled it up.
Really? What?
I just pulled up the shot with the sign in it.
Yeah.
It's like one of the bathroom doors or something.
Right. It's like the bathroom door, or like the door into the back where like Mr. Krabs' office or the kitchen. And it says The Heads. And I've never seen that in any other episode. But I'm so interested as to what that could possibly mean.
Oh my god, that's insane. I'm literally... Yeah, I'm like flabbergasted because I'm literally staring at the frame right now from the episode.
Yeah.
And I just have no idea what this could mean.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Because they do have, like, occasionally when they go to other places, they have, like, funny, like, signs for the bathrooms and stuff. But I don't know what The Heads could possibly mean.
That's interesting. That's a good find.
Thank you.
So anyway, they're out at this boat. SpongeBob decides that he has to inspect it, and he starts like blowing air into the tires, which inflates himself, and he's just doing a bunch of annoying things. Squidward asks him to basically stop playing around and drive the boat, and SpongeBob, of course, as we've discussed, cannot drive. So this ends up going terribly. Squidward tells him to put the boat in reverse and just back it up to get out of the parking spot. And SpongeBob ends up backing them up for miles until they run out of gas in the middle of nowhere. So they go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, I was going to say, and SpongeBob gets into the driver's seat when they're just sitting there. And then he's all like, what, me? You want me to drive? Well, then why did you get into the driver's seat? Those boats clearly have three front seats. You could have gotten into the passenger seat.
So while they're in the middle of nowhere, the boat's empty. Squidward starts to freak out, and as he's ranting and raving, he kicks the boat, which somehow triggers like the gas gauge to go to tick back to full, and the boat drives off without either of them in it. And meanwhile, SpongeBob's still on the mission to deliver this pizza, even though it's actually been an entire night and it's the next morning. So they just start, like, trudging through all of the sand. Basically, they're in, like, the desert. And this is the beginning of what will amount to be the most iconic part of the episode. So SpongeBob starts singing this song. The Krusty Krab pizza is the pizza for you and me.
The Krusty Krab pizza is the pizza for you and me. The Krusty Krab pizza is the pizza.
And my feet are killing me.
That's...
Of course.
Yes.
Yep. The most famous line, maybe, of the series. I don't know. Just because it's been so memed over. I mean, other than, like, I'm ready. But, like, single moment in SpongeBob.
I'm going to challenge that because I think that chocolate.
That's fair. That could be it too. Yeah.
But also, yeah, this is definitely like a top five. Like, this is one of those SpongeBob quotes that people just like, it's so unbelievably referenced. SpongeBob's trying to like protect the pizza, and he says something about the customer, and Squidward's basically like, fuck the customer. And which is really funny. It, like, I think more than any episode, this sort of exemplifies just how much SpongeBob and Squidward respectively care about their jobs at the Krusty Krab.
I would say.
And like, honestly, like, I'm more on Squidward's side in this case. Because it's insane that SpongeBob is still trying to deliver this pizza. So they're going through this windstorm, and they get sucked into a tornado. They get sucked into this tornado, and Squidward's telling SpongeBob to let go of the pizza for, like, ever. And then he sees that he's going to fall to his death if that happens, so he asks him to hold on to it. This part made me laugh so hard because when SpongeBob, who's still holding onto the pizza, the box opens and the cheese makes like a parachute. And Literally, as the pizza box opens up, I don't know if you heard this or like, because I was watching the episode with headphones on. As the pizza opens, Squidward drops by SpongeBob, and you can hear the thud and like the groan as Squidward drops to the ground.
I didn't hear that. It's interesting.
So, and I would never have heard it like if I wasn't listening, because I think it's so faint, but the sound design, it just made me laugh so hard, because it's literally like, and I'll insert the clip, but it was so funny. At this point, they're kind of just descending into madness. SpongeBob, after Squidward says that he's hungry, SpongeBob tries to give him some coral to eat, because he says that that is what the pioneers did.
Yes.
Sidebar, this made me think of the Grandma's Kisses episode later in the series, when SpongeBob's grandmother kisses him in front of everybody at the Krusty Krab, and there's that whole scene in the episode where he's trying to prove that he's an adult, and she gives him like a piece of steamed coral instead of some cookies. And so Squidward eating this coral just reminded me of that.
But this is raw coral.
This is raw coral.
So it's you can understand the metaphor there.
Going back to the whole pioneers thing, so even before that, I think there's the moment where SpongeBob is talking about hitchhiking and how the pioneers used to do it, and he tries to flag down this truck, and literally almost gets run over. And I think, does Squidward push him out of the way in that moment,
or does
he? I feel like he, I don't know, I don't want to say it if it's not true, but I feel like Squidward might push him out of the way, which is a little bit of foreshadowing of what actually happens later. Squidward.
Yeah, I was just
about to say. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and then there's the moment where they see the rock, and there's moss on it, and SpongeBob says that the pioneers used to follow moss because it pointed to civilization. And Squidward, you know, says that that's nonsense and that he's going the other way. And of course, there's that great like zoom out and pan over to Bikini Bottom, in the direction that the moss is facing.
Is it Bikini Bottom though? Because there's like weird. It looks like a Vegas kind of city, and there's like crazy like tourist billboards and stuff.
You know what? You're right. Which is
different from every kind of Bikini Bottom. Image that we see throughout the series.
You are right. I did just assume it was Bikini Bottom, but it absolutely could be anywhere at like any city under the sea.
They never do go to like a different city, really. Like they have that like Atlantis special with David Bowie.
And they go to Rock Bottom.
Yeah. Of course. True.
Which I'm so excited to talk about that episode. So they are walking in the completely wrong direction. But they stumble upon this rock, or this boulder, at a certain point.
It's a boulder.
It is a boulder. SpongeBob tells Squidward that the pioneers used to drive these babies for miles, which is a great line.
Yes. It's not just a boulder, it's a rock. That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Squidward is still unconvinced until SpongeBob literally runs him over, driving this rock. So they arrive, still trying to deliver this damn pizza, at the fish's house, and SpongeBob goes to knock on the door to deliver this pizza. The guy, the fish, is very, he's like fine with the fact that this pizza has taken probably like 16 hours to get to his house, but he takes issue with the fact that SpongeBob forgot his diet Dr. Kelp.
Right.
And it's a whole thing. SpongeBob starts flipping through his, like, notepad where he writes orders, I guess. And the guy literally is just pissed about this soda. So he slams the door in SpongeBob's face, which makes SpongeBob cry. Squidward feels bad. And he picks up the pizza, knocks on the guy's door. He opens back up. And
another one? Look, I told you, little friend, I ain't paying for that!
Well, this one's on the...
Did he change his mind?
He sure did. Ate the whole thing in one bite.
It's, like, actually a very nice moment. Because, especially with this being one of those episodes where Squidward and SpongeBob are, like, stuck together And clearly Squidward is so annoyed by everything SpongeBob does the entire time. It's kind of nice to see them have this moment where Squidward sort of has a little empathy and, you know, sees that SpongeBob has like a good heart and tries to stand up for him.
Yeah. And Squidward's heart is in the right place. Clearly
it is.
Yeah. I mean, he's, it's almost like I can mess with you, but no one else can mess with you.
Yes.
Type relationship.
It is.
Yeah.
After that happens, they get back on the rock and within like a second drive back to the Krusty Krab to go back to work.
Yeah.
Great capper, because
yes,
Squidward just never gets to go home.
Yeah. And it's another episode where the last line is Squidward saying something hurts.
Yes. I took note of that too. It's in my notes.
Yeah. Oh, my aching tentacles, he says. Right? Yeah.
So, some Spongepedia trivia. I'm sorry. Honestly, I will confess, I'm just reading the trivia for the first time. So, Dr. Kelp Soda is a spoof of Dr. Pepper. That's not trivia.
Really?
This bullet point says verbatim, Korean people and people who know the Korean language would know what the boat's marking says.
Yes, so the driving gauge, words are hard. It's in Korean, right? When mm-hmm. he has that like weird like, oh my god, I can't do this panic attack.
Yes,
like, the letters change to Korean.
Okay,
yeah, but that is worded very poorly.
All right, that's all for trivia. The other ones suck, honestly.
I have a very exciting piece of trivia for the next part. So,
Actually, this one's interesting because we were just talking about this. Apparently, Squidward's line is cut in the USA. What the fuck does this say? Squidward's line in the end is cut in the USA and many more places in the world. I don't feel like that's true because I literally remember that line.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Are they saying the line is cut from like reruns? But I don't. That's not true. At least
that's
not
a lie.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've clocked another falsehood from Spongepedia. Yeah.
It's a turtle moment, if you will.
Of course.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts on this part?
Yeah, I mean, this one is just a classic. But the one thing that I picked up on that I never noticed as a kid was how Squidward kept calling him Jethro. That
yes,
so hard. It was so funny. I never noticed it until this rewatch.
There was something about this particular like segment where, I don't know, even though they were at odds and Squidward was clearly just wanted no parts of any of this, like, it was a very, I feel like in the past episodes and in episodes we're going to talk about in the future, whenever SpongeBob and Squidward are stuck together, it's super like malicious on Squidward's part. Whereas this felt like, A, he was kind of like the victim of a lot of just like, he was just suffering a lot during this.
Yeah.
And just was like tired and desperate. But he also he wasn't being particularly mean to SpongeBob.
He was just telling him to give it up. Like, this is, you know, like we got to just go home and stop trying to get to the customer, which is very justified in that moment. That's probably how I would be too.
Yeah. That's how I would be in the restaurant. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like I would extend my energy that much to help somebody in the workplace, much less like outside of work hours. Anyway.
I mean, it's different, I guess, when you are a cashier and you make enough money to live in a single home.
Yes.
then you might be expected to extend your responsibilities, but in a normal scenario.
In a normal scenario where you're like very frugal boss who seemingly does not even want to pay you is giving you enough money that you can live in like a house with a living room, an attic,
multiple
floors, luxury, like furniture. Like, I don't know. It's maybe Squidward has some inheritance, or like he was born rich or something.
I think the squid species is just like a commune. Like they just all, because they all have the same house. They all have the same, you know.
All right. Well, are you ready to move on to Home Sweet Pineapple?
I am.
All right. Part two of the episode, Home Sweet Pineapple. Story editor, Ennio Teresin Jr. Story artist, Eric Wise. Written by Ennio Teresin Jr., Eric Wise, and Mr. Dougie Doug Lawrence. Making another writing credit appearance. Animation director. Wait a minute. I don't know. I feel like, okay. Animation director, I wrote Season Dempsey. I don't know if that's true. I know I said it before because he was also the animation director for the first part. I don't know if it's true because I don't know if it's Sean Dempsey and I just typed it out incorrectly or if his name's actually Season. But I'm not gonna check. We're just gonna keep going.
Yeah, check IMDb if you want to know. Literally,
creative director Derek Dryman. First thing I noticed about this, the title card for this episode is so weird.
Yeah, like, I also noticed that. Yeah,
it's this. So home, it's Home Sweet Pineapple. The words home and sweet are written in like cursive in like a blue, like pen sort of font, and then pineapple is kind of in like a block letter, but it's on this background of like a yellow weird pineapple. It's like it's weird and it looks nothing like any of the title cards I've seen ever.
Yeah, you're right.
So the segment opens up with this group of nematodes and they are just hopping around Bikini Bottom. They're like eating through all of these things. There's a fish driving a car, and they eat through the car while he's driving it. So they head near SpongeBob's house, and immediately I start laughing because they pull out these plastic drinking straws and begin sucking the juice out of SpongeBob's pineapple house. Meanwhile, SpongeBob and Gary are inside asleep, and things just start shrinking and then disappear. This makes no sense, and it is so funny. But things
we're
just
finally huge.
Exactly.
I love that line.
Like what? So as they're drinking the juice from the house, things just start disappearing. The alarm clock gets smaller. I thought as that the funniest detail about that was the alarm starts going off, and as it got smaller, the alarm got more high pitched.
Yeah, that's funny. It's a nice little detail.
So anyway, the whole house disappears. SpongeBob and Gary are outside in this vacant lot. And there's a funny part. So I forget if Squidward comes out first or if... No, I think Patrick has first. Because he hears, like, this commotion. And when he lifts his rock up, he literally says, oh, is it time to ruin Squid's day already? Which yeah. I... Well, go ahead.
Yeah, well, because SpongeBob calls Squidward and asks asks for help. And Squid... I love that. He always calls Squidward first, even though Patrick is clearly his better friend.
Right.
But Squidward says, is it time to ruin my day already?
Oh, and yes.
So then he stays in bed, and then Patrick comes out.
You're right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I did think that was a funny, like, obviously it's a callback to that joke, but I thought it was funny because oftentimes, I think, at least in my opinion, Patrick is thought of as, like, a lovable idiot who's just, like, not maliciously doing anything. But that was a great line of him being like, no, we're totally gonna ruin Squidward's entire experience and like not allow him to have a good day.
Yeah, and he's in a tux too.
Yes,
like, they clearly had something planned.
he like pops out of the rock in his regular like shorts and then drops back into it and pops out in the shorts and a tuxedo jacket.
Yeah.
Patrick, Squidward, and SpongeBob and Gary are all standing around, and SpongeBob explains what happens, which goes right over Patrick's head, because, like, after SpongeBob explains it, he says, SpongeBob, your house is gone. Squidward could not care less about this, but Patrick, being SpongeBob's best friend, allows him to, or invites him to stay at his place under his rock, which SpongeBob accepts. And during this... Go ahead.
Don't they try to build him a new house first, right?
They do try to build... Why am I forgetting everything that happens in this segment?
Yeah, and I think when it breaks and it doesn't work, that is our first use of tartar sauce as a swear word.
You're right. I feel like it is.
I'm not 100% sure, but I noticed that.
And also the scene of them trying to build the house is great because it's like a giant... it's them like doing a regular... It's a montage of them trying to build regular household things and recreate the rooms. And then we find out through like that great reveal that it's the size of a dollhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. And the planks keep falling on Patrick's thumb.
Yes.
It's a lot of great moments. Yeah.
So after that is the moment when Patrick invites SpongeBob to stay over. So they're using the rock literally as a blanket. And Gary's on top of it. And Patrick just, like, is a very heavy sleeper and keeps pulling the rock back on top of him, causing SpongeBob to be out in the cold. So this, like, tussle ensues, and then SpongeBob just puts a blanket of sand around him to, like, avoid that whole situation. But Patrick starts drooling uncontrollably. So in addition to his snoring, which is what made SpongeBob put in, like, a pair of earplugs. So SpongeBob takes the pair of earplugs, combines them into one, which is a detail that I always remember from this episode. And then plugs Patrick's mouth up. and then... Go ahead.
I love how Patrick's house keeps changing, too. Like, even in this episode, there's two different styles. When he gets out, you can clearly see that there are furniture when he first comes out with the tuxedo and stuff on.
Yes.
And now it's completely filled in and they sleep directly under the rock, in between the rock and the ground. So it changes within this one episode too.
This is another great moment. So SpongeBob gets fed up and just like walks away and goes to like sit elsewhere or to sleep elsewhere, like feet away from Patrick. And Patrick just like... is having a nightmare and about a spider and takes his rock and just starts mercilessly beating the shit out of SpongeBob with his rock, which had
yelling spiders,
which has Gary on it on the top asleep. So I don't know where, and I like honestly forget if Gary, like, because obviously he's like suctioned to the rock, but I forget if he like stays there or if he gets flung off or if they just don't even acknowledge it. But
yeah.
So that happens, and it's also SpongeBob is being, like, diced into all these different, like, pieces and slices. It's really funny. That does not work out. So the next morning, SpongeBob has packed up his things to leave, and his parents are coming to get him. And Squidward's super excited about this. And, like, he comes out and takes that picture. I thought that moment was really funny because I also remember this hat that SpongeBob has on, the green.
Thank you. Yes.
That, yeah. I love that outfit that he's wearing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wrote a note because he's wearing that green hat. In the previous segment, he has a cowboy hat that he wasn't... It's a different cowboy hat from the boating school episode. He has so many different hats in this first few episodes, but I think that green hat actually was SpongeBob's original design. Originally, they had SpongeBob with the green hat in like the first couple of drafts of him. So I think that's like a nice little callback to his origins.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
So his parents pull up, and before I failed to mention this earlier, but when SpongeBob's house is first devoured by the nematodes, he picks up this pebble and he says, like it's all he has left of the house. Mm-hmm. And so when he's about to leave the house for the final time, he puts the pebble back in the sand because he just can't bear to like have the memories with him. And Squidward is standing in the lot dancing in a celebratory fashion. SpongeBob's sort of crying, and his tear goes into the pebble, which we find out is a seed, because the house grows back and
fully furnished.
fully furnished, lands on top of Squidward. Funny moment I forgot to mention right before that happens, the car is about to pull off with SpongeBob and his parents in it, and Patrick is desperately, like, hanging onto the car and trying to, like, and literally, like, tips it a bit so they're about to fall out. Anyway, the house grows back. Everybody runs into it, literally, like, trampling over Squidward, who's buried in the sand. And that's the end of the episode. Oh, it ends on a great line, though, which is, my house is back. Aw, Squid, isn't this great? I'm back forever. Squidward says, forever?
Aw, Squidward, isn't this great? I'm back forever.
Forever?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, classic line.
SpongePedia trivia. All right, let's see what we're working with. Wait. Yes.
I want to do my trivia go ahead. First. Yes. Because if I will be very disappointed if SpongePedia has it. So I wanted to find out who voiced the nematodes, right?
Okay.
Which I never found out because I got distracted.
Right.
But while I was doing that, I discovered that SpongeBob is actually the second Nick show to mention nematodes. The other one, they were mentioned in an episode of Doug. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't that very weird?
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And of course it would be weird ass Doug that mentions.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
I couldn't believe it either. Well, first of all, when I was a kid, and because you know when you're a kid and you watch things and every single reference just goes over your head and you don't understand anything, so you're just like, all right, whatever. Nematodes. I was like, what the hell?
What
as a
they?
Kid, like, what does that mean? but yeah, I soon discovered what they were, what they actually are. SpongePedia trivia. When SpongeBob says to, I'm just gonna read all of these because I don't even feel like vetting them. SpongeBob said there was nothing left but a pebble. Yet he is shown with some bags when his parents pick him up. I should note that these are labeled as trivia / goofs.
Yes.
When SpongeBob says to Gary, quote, well, looks like we have to move back in with Mom and Pop, this indicates that SpongeBob had owned Gary before he moved out of his parents' house. Good point. I hadn't thought of. When SpongeBob is in his parents' car, he says goodbye, Bikini Bottom. This indicates that SpongeBob's parents don't live in Bikini Bottom. This is further suggested when Squidward ran out of his house after he woke up, and SpongeBob's parents mentioned they have dinner waiting, even though it's morning. likely meaning that Mr. and Mrs. Squarepants' home is many hours away. The season eight.
And they must have a crock pot or something.
Yes. The season 8 episode Home Sweet Rubble has a similar title and plot. Haven't seen the episode because it's in season 8. But I did look at the title card. Kind of looks the same, not exactly the same. Like it looks more like a regular title card where the font is all the same and it's right, a little less dull. But it's got that pineapple background. So
it does.
So it is sort of like a callback or like a little Easter egg. In Home Sweet Rubble, SpongeBob got his house back using pineapple in a can. In this episode, it comes back with the seed.
Interesting.
The house's circumference is smaller, and Gary and SpongeBob are about the same size after the scene when SpongeBob and Gary learn that the house is shrinking. Their size ratios are back to normal. Sure. All right.
Interesting.
And when SpongeBob turns the wrench when they're trying to rebuild the house, the close-up picture of him before that happens shows Patrick falling and the picture tilts. SpongeBob's shirt turns dark brown and the black stripes for his belt disappear. All right, whatever. I don't ever care about this is like my own pet peeve, but I hate whenever they mention any type of animation goofs because I feel like they're so specific. But anyway. I liked this episode. I thought it had some good moments. It wasn't necessary, like, not the most memorable episode, even though it is like a memorable, what actually happens to the house and like the whole plot is in essence or in like intrinsically just kind of a memorable thing. It's cool. Like the stuff with Patrick's Rock is really funny. There's like good physical humor when they're trying to rebuild the house.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of a meh episode. Or a meh segment.
I mean, I would agree with that. The first half is definitely more memorable than the second half with the building of the house and the nematodes especially.
Yes.
But one thing we forgot to mention was after he spends the night with Patrick and he can't take it anymore, he's at Squidward's for a brief time.
My God. Yes. I'm so... Yeah. I cannot believe I forgot this.
I forgot about it too until I just looked over my notes real quick. And he just kind of like crawls into bed with Squid while before Squidward like is even awake enough to realize it. And the thing that makes me laugh about this, and Squidward, he asks him for a cup of water and sleepwalks.
Please say the same exact thing I'm about to say. I really hope you're about to say it.
To get the water. And he slides the pillow.
Yes!
He is dominating the pillow, which is the thing he was just annoyed at Patrick for. So that was my like favorite little Easter egg of the episode.
Literally, that was like you just took the words out of my mouth. That was when he asks him to get the water and he slides the pillow over so that he can have control over it.
Yeah.
Super funny. And then also there's a like a meme moment. One of the moments from that scene becomes a meme when Squidward wakes up and realizes that SpongeBob is in. I've been up since 2:30 a.m.
SpongeBob, listeners have no idea what time it is now. So
right.
It could be 3 a.m. Anyway,
Squidward realizes that SpongeBob is in his bed and his eyes like shoot open and they're all bloodshot and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like a very big reaction meme that people like to use now. And also going back to pizza delivery, the moment where Squidward is trying to convince SpongeBob that they should eat the pizza because Squidward is really hungry, the POV shot from the pizza looking at Squidward and SpongeBob where they're like, there's like that halcyonic glow behind them and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, I've seen people use that as like a reaction meme too. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Well, anyway, and before we move into our rankings, do you have anything else to say just about these about this episode, about either parts?
Well, I mean, Home Sweet Pineapple, first time we meet SpongeBob's mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny, the gag of, you know, they're happy when he has to move back and then sad when he doesn't. But SpongeBob's dad, also voiced by Tom Kenny, it's just incredible. For these early episodes, I mean, he just voices so many different characters that go on to be featured in other episodes.
Mm-hmm. He's pulling a lot of weight in this
Yes.
In the first episode we started talking about these rankings for ranking the individual segments, and last week I said that we would debut our top 11 segments so far. So are you ready, Mr. Pittis?
I am I going first?
Yes, you can.
Wow. Okay. So my first seven, I would say, are close. And that, all right. So one I have Plankton, and that is far and away, I think, my favorite that we've watched so far. Two, Ripped Pants. Three, Boating School. Four, Pizza Delivery. Five, Help Wanted. Six, Naughty Nautical Neighbors. Seven, Home Sweet Pineapple. All of those, I think, are very solid. All made me laugh out loud at least once during this rewatch. And then I would say that there's kind of a gap, and then it's Tea at the Tree Dome,
right?
Jelly Fishing, 10, Bubble Stand, and I think that's just because I've seen it so many times, Bubble Stand. And then 11, I have Reef Blower, because I feel like it's just kind of that, you know, throwaway. Right. So that's my rankings. What do you say?
I'm going to go in the opposite order from 11 to 1.
That's smart.
but last, I also have Reef Blower, just because, you know, it's so not even really an episode or a segment. It's just not
yeah.
even.
Yeah.
10, ripped pants. And by the way, wow. I want to say, I know. I do want to say, I like, I really do like it. I was just really trying to, yeah. like, in my brain be like, what gave me the most, like, laughs? Or okay. just, like, what yeah. made, I think that's what I was, my logic was. So, 9, Home Sweet Pineapple. Decent, okay. not that memorable. Okay. 8, Bubble Stand. 7, Jellyfishing. 6, Help Wanted, which I think, did you have Help Wanted at 6 too? Or,
I had Help Wanted at 5.
Okay.
But close enough. Yeah.
Yes. At 5, Boating School. 4, Tea at the Tree Dome. 3, Nautical Neighbors, which I know you were, like, kind of lukewarm on it, but I just thought it was the funniest freaking segment. Like, it was just so, I don't know. It just, for some reason, it really, like, got me.
Yeah. Well, clearly not the funniest, because...
Right, right. Third funniest, because 2 is Pizza Delivery.
Yeah.
Very funny, very memorable, obviously very, like, iconic, top 10, you know, worthy episode. Number 1, Plankton.
Yes. I think we both enjoyed that greatly, not expecting to at all.
Right.
Which probably had, you know, something to do with it. Yeah.
I was, like, very pleasantly surprised.
Right.
I feel like there are a decent number of episodes that take place during season one that take place at night for some reason, or that just feel like there's the episode where later in season one where SpongeBob is in the dream sequence and or he's having a dream. I feel like there are a lot of episodes like that, and for some reason they always seem like to have slower pacing or something. So when we got to the Plankton segment, I was sort of like, oh, this is going to be like a slower, like, I don't know, episodes that might drag, but it really didn't. It was super, the pacing was good, the writing yeah. was really sharp, it was really funny. So
yeah. And I mean, other than that, we didn't have that much different, other than, and again, those like 2 through 7 were very close for me.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
difficult. So, you know, the difference in the Naughty Nautical Neighbors is understandable, and then Ripped Pants I think is the other one that we disagreed on the most, and Teeth the Tree Dome, I would say.
Yes.
I didn't think that was that strong, but you obviously did.
I did. I'm sorry, I got distracted. There's like an echo happening. Wait, hold on.
Sorry, that was probably me.
Oh, okay.
Let me see if my headphones are working. Oh, shit, they're not connected.
Nah.
Because they were connected to my phone. Let me see.
Oh, gotcha. I love that this happened actually. Like, we're about to end the episode.
I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Just disconnect your headphones, and we'll deal with it for the third. All right, wait a minute. I can't hear you. I can hear you now.
Yeah. That's super weird.
All right, let's just end the fucking episode.
Yeah.
All right, well, those are our rankings so far. We are 5 episodes in. So, but hopefully by the end of this, we will have God knows how many segments there are in these first 3 seasons, but we'll have a very concrete list from each of us about what our favorite segments in order are from the classic era of the show.
A definitive ranking, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything else to add before we head out of here for the week?
I don't think so. Sorry about the audio issues at the end. My phone died, and then my headphones wouldn't connect to my laptop, so...
Hopefully editing was able yes. to save it enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, stuff happens. thank you for listening to this episode of Every 11 Minutes. Next time, we are discussing episode 6 of season 1, Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy, and Pickles.
Woo!
Woo is right. So you'll hear what we think about those next week. Until then... No. Yes. I agree.